I thought I might never be saying this again, but this is Big Tony here with Re-Educating Dad, the cross-generational talk show, back here again after a very long break with my daughter and co-host, Little Tony. How are you doing?
Feels like you've been up for hours and you're really perky. I'm good.
Whereas you're not.
Well, I've been up, but not as long as you. I haven't had my coffee yet. I haven't had my morning.
Oh,
beans.
No, you can't start without coffee. Well, I've had a couple of cups of coffee. Anyhow, why don't you, you've heard my teaser for this reunion episode number 87. Why don't you quickly remind our listeners about our podcast origin story and what Re-Educating Dad, the cross-generational talk show, is all about.
Okay.
Over to you.
Well, you asked me during COVID, I've never said that before. You asked me during COVID whether I'd be open to doing a cross-generational conversation about different subjects. And I was very reluctant because we have very different views on things and like to debate them. And then you wore me down and I agreed to do the podcast, but I saw it as an opportunity to get to understand you better. I did hear your little teaser for this and I was like, not sure you've done much re-educating yourself, but I've definitely learned a lot about you and that's been really, really handy. But yeah, we've talked about lots of different subjects.
Yeah, we did.
I think our last episode prior to the Queen dying, we basically agreed that we have different views on politics. However, we had met each other somewhere in the middle, which was an interesting end to the era. But yeah, that's about it really. And then you've invited me because something's changed, but you haven't told me what. So here I am.
Okay.
I'm intrigued.
Well, I don't remember that bit about you playing hard to get, I must say. I think you've invented that, but we did start, obviously, the whole world changed on its axis when COVID hit, and I think we were all confined to our homes. You in Hastings, me, well, at first in Kensington, and then things changed, didn't they? And we thought it would be just fun to do something different. And COVID gave us a chance to do that. I think it changed a lot of people's lives in that way. But my recollection of it is the idea started off re-educating Dad was about you re-educating me, you know, from a younger person's point of view, talking to this dinosaur with his dinosaur views.
You think you are a dinosaur. I don't think that.
Oh, well, good. But I think that it evolved into a two-way education process because you were certainly enlightening me in areas that I wasn't expecting. And I think it happened a little bit the other way around. I'm not going to say too much about that. I'll let you say whether that's true or not. But I felt that our views came closer together, you know, me coming from a much more conservative right-wing perspective, you coming from a very far out in the left perspective, wanting to defund the police.
I was left leaning. I was never far left.
Defund the police, burn down, pull down the statues and all that sort of stuff.
I mean, I still feel the same about all of that stuff. So clearly there wasn't a re-educating on your part.
I
would say rather than a re-education in those different subjects, there was a deeper understanding how we each thought about things and what our context was behind that. And that was hugely valuable. And now I feel like we found a language to talk to each other in which we're not really arguing anymore. We're just discussing.
I'll go with that.
I do think that there was learning on each part, but I don't think it was necessarily about politics or about the subjects. I think it was about getting to know each other better, which is great. And I would recommend everyone does it.
Okay. Especially I would agree. I would completely agree with that. So We got up to episode 85, and our listeners, and old and new, can check back on our podcast. And I would, think it's a great thing if you're not familiar with what we've been talking about to dip into the ones that pique your interest. You can tell from the title of the episode what it's about, hopefully. But we really stopped at episode 85, and then, as you rightly said, we did a bonus episode 86 when the Queen died. Why did we stop? Remember?
Well, actually, I when you asked me to listen to the teaser that you'd put out without my consent, by the way, I'm joking. I went back and listened to the last two episodes, which was really nice. But we stopped because I think I had started to travel a lot with my work, and you had become really busy as well because you now have retired. Dun dun dun. If people haven't followed your new fantastic podcast, what's the name of it? Refinement, not retirement.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, a little
So,
plug for you there.
well, thank you.
I think that we were finding it hard to match up our diaries a little bit. And I think we both felt like the episode before the chat about the monarchy and the Queen dying was a bit of a natural resolution. Not resolution is the wrong word, but like a natural end to the process.
Yeah, I think that from my perspective, I would say a couple of things happened. First of all, I escaped to the country, moved to the Cotswolds. I think we were, Christine and I, my wife, I think we were one of the first COVID evacuees from London. I think we were right at the beginning, which worked out very well for us. We've moved to the Cotswolds to a lovely little medieval village called Elmley Castle in the very northwest tip of the Cotswolds. And that completely changed my world. And
If
then,
anyone listening to this and they heard you say Elmley Castle, they could do a drinking game, because you've
well,
said every single episode, if anyone doesn't know that you live in Elmley Castle, they're dumb.
and I still say it because I'm very proud of this little village.
I know you
And so there was that changed my world. But then a couple of years after moving here, Christine and I quit our company. Closed our company, our relocation business. We had a sudden complete, well, we made a very sudden decision, really, to quit work. And that was another major shift. So why am I saying that? Well, the reason I'm saying that is because my life has changed so much in that now I have time, whereas I was always focused on work and, trying to make money. I now, for the first time, had the gift of reflection, the gift of being able to enjoy the precious present, which I've talked about a lot in the past, the gift of being able to savor life, on the one hand, and on the other hand, to reflect on all kinds of on my views, for instance. And I have noticed that my views have been changing quite a lot. I like the way your generation, the younger generation, I like compared to mine. When I was your age and younger, there was a very much a focus on work and making money and becoming, quote unquote, successful. And that eclipsed the important parts of my life, raising you and your three wonderful sisters, for instance. I just didn't allow the time for spending time with you. And I love the way now that I see the way your generation focuses much more on enjoying life and quality of life over money, and particularly spending time with your children, arranging your lives in such a way that you don't let time run away with you and you miss out on the really valuable aspects of life. So that's That's one thing. And I've been, I mean, I suppose I've been moving much more in that direction. You do as time, as your time starts to run out. You obviously there's a natural motivation to not waste the time that you have left. I think that's just a part and parcel of getting older. But what I really wanted to say was that a couple of things that I have been reflecting on have really, I think, moved me, moved my politics, I suppose. Not that I've ever been a particularly political animal at all, but my political views, let's put it that way, have definitely been changing. And a couple of things have been major influences. One in the recent in recent history, and one of those is the post office scandal. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with what's been going on there, little tone, since the Mr. Bates and the Post Office TV docudrama. That has absolutely shaken me to the core, really. I mean, what has and we, I've done an episode on that. I think I did it with Christine, or either did it solo or with Christine, I can't remember which just now, on our refinement not refinement not retirement podcast, available on all great podcast platforms.
Plug number two.
Yeah, and I was so I was made so angry about what was done, what has been done and continues to be done, because they continue to be victims to those sub postmasters. I was so outraged by it and made angry by it. I wrote to my MP here, who is a prominent conservative, and I said, I've been a long, lifelong conservative voter, and I am never going to vote for the party again.
Hurrah!
I'm not really sure why. I'm not. I thought that would thrill you. I'm not really sure what motivated me to actually write that letter. I think I just wanted to, I wanted to just, I suppose, vent really. But not that I wrote her a nasty letter. I just told her, essentially what I've just said. And, she wrote back the usual load of
Like, I'm
BS,
going to use my
with
constitutional right to have a good rant, and you have to read it because that's your only job. Ha ha. Let me make it extra
well,
long.
she didn't, her response did not move the needle one bit from the way I was
It
feeling.
never
And
does.
if anything, it moved it the egg, moved it more the other way.
Their tactic seems to be, I'm not going to talk to you about anything that you've said, and I'm going to tell you how these things work. And you're like, well, I know how they work. That's why I'm writing to you, because it's not working well. It's
But
like the many.
they're apparently working to compensate the victims. But look, they haven't really done anything meaningful, and they didn't do anything meaningful until a TV program came out on the subject, and that's absolutely outrageous. And even now that we know that it's getting worse, it gets worse all the time. It's quite clear that the post office management knew that they were prosecuting people when there were clearly fundamental problems with the Horizon system, and yet they went on anyway, putting people in jail, including a pregnant woman who lived in West Byfleet. And I mean, just absolutely, it
The thing
shook
that's
me.
interesting to me is this is just one example
Yes.
of lots and lots of things that are happening all the time. And I find it quite interesting, not interesting in a sarcastic way or an ironic way. I find it interesting that this is the thing that you've connected with
It's one
versus
of the two things. The other one is bigger, but go on.
well, I'm interested to hear what the other one is, but I just think it's interesting because of how much has happened to highlight the failings of our government over the last few since COVID, really, because there's been a concerted effort to kind of expose what's going on. Anyway, tell
Yes.
me the second one.
Well, I will, but before I do that, I will say that the post office scandal itself has made me realize about wealth and privilege in a way that I haven't really thought about it in the past, and how people, like the executives in the post office hierarchy just get away with things because they have money and institutional status. People looked at the post office as part of our culture, and that it could do no wrong, and it must be. And I think this applies to the judges also, who were sitting over these cases and imprisoning these people, is they probably thought, well, the post office is almost like the police service. What they say has to be true because they are the police service, or they are the post office. Which clearly the opposite was true, and we find that quite a lot with the police force as well.
And then to account in the same way that the general public are.
And they're not. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And now we have accountability coming into the process, but it's way too slow. I looked at this. I can tell that this is in your mind as well. But I looked at the. We've had this scandal with the COVID, with the PPE stuff, and how these contracts were awarded in a entirely negligent fashion, well,
Millions of
negligent and corrupt fashion, it has to be said, to friends of the Tory Party. I mean,
They took advantage of a crisis.
even if we look at the other side of the aisle, on the Labour side, I mean, everybody really, or nearly everybody in the senior part of that, are all privileged people. It's so wrong that I mean, it's such a good example, the post office case, because you have these salt of the earth people who, were really just trying to run little businesses, and to, in many cases, prepare for their retirement, which is obviously a subject close to me. Since I'm at that age, just think of just the way that they're taking their life savings were really stolen from them, and their lives were stolen from them in many cases. I mean, thank goodness that they're talking about corporate manslaughter, because that clearly is a case of that. The other big one, then, the other big one is Trump and what's happening in America. Because I literally can't believe what's happening in America. I've always been a lover of the US, well, North America generally, the USA and Canada, and I've spent quite a bit of time there one way or another, business and pleasure. And to see what's happening there really has cut through my heart. I mean, I cannot believe that this vile man, and as you know, I've been a right-wing person, and so I can hardly be accused of being a lefty, but and therefore I say that because I don't want it to be thought of that I'm saying this because of political views, because clearly I'm not a socialist, and I'm the opposite of a socialist. But seeing this, I mean, he's just such a vile man. I mean, the way he's put down, the way he's done his business over the years, just not paying people, and it's all just so shady. And then now he's, then he in a in 2016 in a well, what how do I express this? It was I don't think he believed that he would I don't think he believed for one moment that he would become the president of the United States. I don't think he believed it for one moment. I think it shocked him as much as it did a lot of
None
other
of us
people.
think it happened.
But,
Ridiculous.
and now, of course, that has gone completely to his head. This guy who has the most, I mean, you couldn't make a character up like that. People would say, don't be ridiculous. Nobody could be that extreme. But, I remember way, way, way back when he was a young man. I remember him going on an interview with Larry King. Larry King? Larry King was a
Yeah.
very pro. Yeah. He went on an interview with Larry King when Larry King was quite young at the time. And he, in the interview, he suddenly says to him, "Your breath really stinks. Has anyone ever told you that? He says to Larry King. I mean, who talks like that? And now we
Because
see him.
Disarming moves, that's the thing. It's all about disarming people, making them feel powerless. But from my perspective, Trump is just like a very open version of what happens over here. You know, we're just more shady about it. You know, all of these people in government are doing really distinct things, you know, really, you know, then they're not democratic people. They don't have the people's interests at heart. They have their own interest at heart, and that is making as much money as possible and living a very luxurious life. I can barely speak of anyone in Parliament that is actually defending the people. You know, our NHS is in bits, is absolutely in pieces at the moment, and all of our public services are falling apart.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with any of that, but except the bit of comparing our politicians, our leading politicians, with Trump. There's nothing like
because
Trump.
In America, it's all about how much money you have, and he does have more money than everyone else.
Well,
you know, he have a slightly
yeah, he inherited it all and lost a lot of it.
That's how a lot of it works. All of these people in Parliament, they are inheritance of, you know, they've in college, they've, you know, King's College or whatever, you know, and they are brought up in privilege. And that means that from the get-go, it doesn't matter about your skills. It doesn't matter about what you do, you learn in your lifetime. It's all about how, you know, the privilege that you're born with and what you're able to do with that. It's a great start in life to have parents that have loads of money. And that's
Yeah,
not
of course.
Necessarily
Of course, nobody can really argue with that, I don't think. But the phenomenon of Trump is actually, I think, a bit more nuanced than that, in the sense that he positioned himself as somebody who was going to fight this. Well, you know, really what you're talking about, the institutional bias towards privileged people. He presented himself and presents himself to this day as someone who's going to fight back against the state, the deep state, as he calls it. But really, he's the very epitome of the worst aspects of that. But he sells himself to his base as though he's Robin Hood, you know, that he's come to.
Why are you so the sort of like the pattern amongst all of our conversations, you know, I think I've just been interested as to why those are the things that you connect with. Like, why is it not the situation in Gaza? You know, why is it not the food banks in the UK? Why is it not the schooling system? Why is it not the NHS system? Why are your politics shifting because of the post office scandal and because of Trump?
Well,
Are they relatable to you, or?
I mean, I, you know, you've mentioned some things there that we could certainly talk about in, you know, on future episodes,
Great.
if you want to.
We kind of have. We have spoken about those things. You know, we spoke about
yes, but
Palestine.
I'm my views have changed quite a lot on, certainly on the Israeli, but the views of the world have changed on that. I mean, you know, things are moving, clearly not fast enough, in a direction of more balance between the two sides, in what is a very complex, long-standing dispute.
See, the thing for me is it isn't complex. You know, I know why the UK and the US aren't doing anything. We all know why. It's because of intelligence. We just don't want to lose our military intelligence in the Far East. But at what cost does that come? And
yes,
this
no,
is the,
that's all true. That's all true. Yeah, yeah.
Through all of these subjects, it's about the collateral damage. Through every single subject we talk about, how many people have to be damaged or hurt or, you know, oppressed for wealthier people and people in positions of power to intervene?
Okay.
You know?
Well, okay. Well, in the few minutes that we've got left, and there aren't many, let's start thinking about what I've mentioned before, is what are the solutions to this? give me from your perspective what the solutions are.
We've got to get the Tories out. We've got to 100% get them out. They are not fit for purpose.
Okay, so that's okay.
Labour are either, to be honest with you. We need
Yeah, so that's so where do we go then?
a party that actually holds up the idea of democracy and is working towards fixing these broken systems, fixing the railway system,
No,
the
but
train.
I'm talking about solutions that are available to us. What solutions are available to us?
Well, the solution, the beginning, the start to this is to get the Tories out. They are the worst
But
party.
yeah, how do you do that?
So what you do is you use your voting power. We're going to have an election this year. You use your voting power to work out what the top two parties are in your local area, and you vote for the party that is the opposite of the Tories.
Okay, so who are you going to vote for?
So in my area, it'll be either Labour or it'll be Green Party. Green
Okay,
Party are
so,
pretty good. I think they've improved
but if you
ten.
vote for the Green Party, you know that's going to be a waste, right?
No, it won't necessarily be a waste. You've got to be strategic in your voting. That's the first thing. Everyone has to use their right to vote against the Tories. And there's no point voting for a party that aren't going to win. So we need to collectively vote for a party that are going to knock them out. That's the first thing.
Well, the Green Party aren't going to do that, are they?
No, you have to look at your local election.
But the local election, I mean, you were talking about a general election when you said, well, there's going to be an election, and really, weren't you? What's going to tip? What is going to get?
You're going to have to vote Labour, probably.
Yes, all right. But
I don't want people on
we're
Monday to
voting,
vote Labour. I want
you
people to do their own research and vote based on what they think is right. But we have to knock the Tories out. They have to, we have had non-elected prime ministers for like what the last four?
Yeah, okay. So, but what's going to happen that's going to be positive if Labour, I mean, I think it's highly likely, whatever you or
They're
I
going to be
do.
marginally better. They're going to be marginally better
Okay.
than what we have now.
So you're saying make baby steps in the right direction.
Yeah,
Make a
I think
baby step.
the manifesto is actually, parts of it are definitely an improvement on the last one. I think that we need to engage in politics. We can't become complacent. We have to engage, and we have to engage with our local government. And we have to call them out on their behavior. I think one of the problems is disengaging.
But I think one of the problems that we're seeing with the rise of the Trump situation is that Americans have got to the position, a lot of Americans have got to the position where they're saying, there's nothing that we can do under the traditional system that is going to move the needle. So here comes this, knight in shining armor in the shape of Trump, who's talking about changing the whole thing. Rebelling against it, smashing it, rebuilding it. And it sounds attractive because of what you and I are talking about, because they want a fix, but I think not realizing what this man is really capable of. How depraved he is. What the dangers are of going in that
What's the
direction, which on
solution
the
then?
face of it
Trump again.
looks, sorry, say again.
We're talking about Trump again. Like, what are the solutions? Do we boycott huge companies? Do we stop paying our taxes? Do we stop paying?
Well, this is what I was. I mean, I'm actually very depressed, really, about there being any solutions, and I'm not sure. I heard my sister the other day talking about she's going to just go in and spoil her. She'd been advised by a friend, I think, to go and essentially spoil her, voting ballot,
But they
and that
don't care about that.
I
They don't.
agree that I
They
agree, and
want people to spoil them. They literally want people to spoil them because they want their small minority of like privileged people to be the ones that have all the voting power.
I'm with you on that, but I mean I can understand her position, and
I understand, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help. And I do
No,
think
it
that
doesn't. But then I don't think that voting Labour helps either.
I think getting the Tories out helps. I think it
Yeah.
helps. I
Yeah,
think that
well.
they're the worst party that could ever. I mean, they have failed on every single possible thing. They need to be gone. You know, we need to have something different. We need to try something different. And, you know, I'm not a fan of Labour anymore either. I do not like Keir Starmer at all. But I'd rather have Keir Starmer than Rishi Sunak,
Well,
you know.
I think I'm with you on that. I'm for the first time in my life, I think I am seriously thinking of voting for the Labour Party, which I never thought I'd ever say. And I'm probably, if I do it, it'll probably be because it'll be a more of a protest vote than because I certainly
This
am
is
not.
what we were fighting for last time. We wanted your generation to do the protesting vote for our generation. And what's happened is that everyone ignored us. And look at what's happened with the Conservative Party.
Well, okay, but I'm
We
not
were
sure.
asking you to
I mean,
vote for
the
what we have
Jeremy Corbyn
offered.
manifesto was awful, and I know that you and other members of your generation were thought it was manna from heaven, but it would have been disastrous. And
Well, I don't think it would have been any more disastrous than what we've been dealing with.
I think that very special circumstances came into being. Which the COVID being the most probably the most important of those, but
Yeah, but
obviously,
they used that as an opportunity to make more money. That's the thing. They
yes.
didn't operate from a place of we're in crisis,
Well,
we're in uncharted waters. All of the language was so manipulative. You know, I'm looking back on it now, and I became a tool in that manipulation, telling people to go and get vaccines and to tell on their neighbors, and like, you know, that rhetoric about the vulnerable group. You need to go and get a vaccine because us vulnerable people will die if you don't get a vaccine. I fell into that rhetoric. Is that the right
well,
word?
you don't think having a vaccine was a good idea?
No.
Oh, blimey. Okay, so
No,
there's
look, we're in
definitely
another
more
peak now.
work. There's definitely more work I've got to do then.
No, absolutely not. I'm not going to be like that. Like, the vaccine was not tested properly. Loads of people have got really sick from it. I got really sick from it. I was sick for 8 months after I had that vaccine. I'm not saying vaccines don't work. I'm saying that one wasn't tried and tested properly, and it didn't actually benefit us. I 100% believe that our vaccine that we pushed through without proper licensing or whatever, wrong word, but like the World Health Organization did not approve it. It didn't work. It wasn't tested properly. And it's all to do with money. All of it is to do with money and power and
Okay,
how we
well,
respond.
I can't subscribe to that conspiracy
Okay.
theory, but that is actually you're speaking very much in harmony with a lot of the most extreme Trump supporters.
No,
So you would you
don't do that.
no
Don't do
no,
that.
but that is what they're
You're
saying. I mean, I don't
No,
I.
no. My opinion has changed based on experience. My opinion, what we talked about it before, was based on fear. It was based on fear mongering by the press and by the government. And now I did what the government said, and I experienced what it was like to take that vaccine that wasn't approved by the World Health Organization. I'm not saying vaccines don't work. I'm pro-vaccine. But I'm not pro vaccines that have not been tested properly. And it
Well,
made me really, really sick.
that's a conversation that's going to take more than a few minutes. We've
Oh,
got,
yeah, it
yeah.
totally will. And I'm not saying that I have all the facts. I'm saying that I was nearly better from COVID. And then I took that vaccine and I was sick for a further 8 months. And I had some long COVID issues that I still have now. And I don't it's not about the vaccine, it's not about COVID, it's about the way that this government operates,
Okay.
and I don't subscribe to it at
Okay.
all.
Okay. So let's bring this to a close, this reunion episode to a close. Hopefully you're up for further episodes
Oh
from
my
time
God.
to time. Because
What's happened here?
I think there's a lot to talk about, and there's going to be a lot more to talk about as things develop. over here, and as we get towards the general election. So, I'd love to do it if you would like to.
Probably in October as well. I think that election will happen.
Okay, I haven't heard that theory, I don't think.
You know,
But
but they will.
I have my focus has been very much more on the USA at the moment, where things are really, really, hotting up in the
There's a
Trump.
mess there. It's a complete mess.
Yeah, it is. It's a horrible, horrible situation. Anyhow, we're going to wrap this up now because we're out of time. But lovely to be back with you, dear listeners, and thank you for all the encouragement that you've given. I've had lots of messages saying how much you want to hear Little Tone, and here she is back on air. So there are a lot of Little Tone supporters out there, without a doubt. Thank you for the support you've shown us, and we'll do a few more like this, I hope, and I hope that you will continue to follow our discussions. You've heard about my other podcast. Do check that out. It's called Refinement, Not Retirement. I think you've got a podcast out as well, haven't you?
I was about to say, I also have a podcast called Embracing Magic, which is all about witchcraft.
Okay. How do people find that? What's it called?
It's called Embracing Magic. It's on all major streaming platforms. I would suggest YouTube because it's actually videoed
Okay. Well,
in a
there you
nice.
are. Check out the Witchy Podcast. And we'll see you next time. So for now, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Bye, everyone. We'll see you next time. Till then, ta-ta.